We've got $10,000 on offer at 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock when Aaron reads and asks the questions for Alpha Bucks.
Yeah, that's got to go off soon, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, definitely. Also, every caller who gets on air today is getting Ed Sheeran tickets.
Absolutely. Double pass to go see Ed Sheeran at Accor Stadium Friday 24th of Feb. Saturday 25th of Feb, it's Ed's day. Everyone we speak to.
The breakout star of Maths, who was portrayed as a villain in the first episode, is coming on this radio show very soon, in the next few minutes. In fact, his name is Harrison. The word is that he had a girlfriend on the outside who he said to wait for him while he did the Maths thing. And then you see him get married to another woman and then she finds out he's got a girlfriend. You know,
I think you're part of the problem here because I think that's going to be dispelled.
Well, he can tell his own story when he talks to us. So I'm friends with a lot of Maths people. You've got to remember, I was on Jackson's interview show only the other day, walking through Hyde Park with Jackson from last year's Maths. So who's moving to the Gold Coast? Shout out to Jackson from last year's Maths.
A Maths contestant living on the Gold Coast.
He's moving.
I thought so. Sorry, mate.
What's happening, mate? He's breaking the stereotype. He's going to do it.
So, and wait, and he's got a podcast.
I think he's got a podcast and a little video show, YouTube video show, which is good. I went on it.
Great.
So hopefully it helps my career as well. So I actually do need that. I need any help I can get to connect with the younger generation. So now, Aaron, you and your daughter watched Maths last night and you videoed your daughter's reaction to something.
I audioed it. Same thing. But it was actually first time us watching Maths together. And she's 4.5. But
God,
it was actually fascinating because she's obsessed with weddings. And so we're watching, I think, Paddington Bear on the Cartoon Channel. And I said, can we watch weddings? And she was really excited. Oh,
well, that is lovely. We'll find out exactly how that went.
Fantastic.
There's something still happening at our house, at my house, which I need to find out whether that's normal or not. Because I'm into it. Something's happening in our house and I need you guys to tell me it's okay because I'm into it.
I'm a real enabler, so I will most likely tell you it's okay.
I'm going to show you a photo, and you just need to tell me, because what's the date? It's
February 1st.
All right, so what do you see there?
No.
It looks like a Christmas tree.
It's a Christmas tree.
Who decorated that, just out of interest?
Well, it's pretty plain, I'm not going to lie. So the children, what do you have got my children?
Oh, it looks beautiful.
Yeah, good. So it's still up. Our Christmas tree's still up. And I think by the time you get to February, let's keep it up. Let's have a 12-month of the year Christmas tree.
Love it.
I actually don't mind it because I feel like Christmas, even if you're not that into it, it makes people happier.
Yeah.
Christmas decorations, music in the shops, it's even subconsciously makes you a happier person.
I've gone full circle on this because a few weeks ago I was like, it's really depressing for Christmas trees to be still up after New Year.
It's real or fake?
That one's a fakey. Yeah. So I thought it's depressing. But now, I've gone full circle and now I am into it. And I can't be bothered putting a Christmas tree up next year. So why don't we just keep the one we've got?
Yep.
So are we all on the same page or not?
I didn't put one up this year. I went to Kmart and bought like a little one and then two little Santas and two little reindeers. And we just put them on kind of the shelf at home because I knew that we'd be away for most of Christmas. And then when I was away, I got a friend to go in and just because I had some dead flowers into my apartment and just clear them for me because I was away with Dad for a fair while back in Canberra. And she just put the 4 or 5 things into a little plastic bag in the cupboard.
You put them away.
So remove them. Otherwise, mine would still be there too.
Yeah, right. So basically you're saying no Christmas tree at all. Oh, not no big one.
It was a little, but it was very cute little display.
It was a little one, yeah.
But it was cheap, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, what about Mark? What about Mark from Kensington? Keen to go to Ed Sheeran, but also, Mark, you've still got your Christmas tree up?
No, I just took it down a couple of days ago because I'm going to get my hot cross buns.
Yeah, right.
Is that where you keep your hot cross buns in the same spot?
Oh, we can't go into that detail this early in the morning.
You know what? I was thinking, Mark, that Easter's my only issue. You know, it's because right, Christmas is going to run into Easter.
But what do you put up for Easter? Like a big egg or something?
We don't put anything up for Easter, but is it confusing on Easter? Maybe we could put an Easter bunny under the Christmas tree.
Or hang hot cross buns on the tree.
Mm. Or a crucifix.
Yeah, you'd have to nail them on there.
Now, Alana, from Cronulla, when did your tree go down, Alana?
About the 6th of January. Ooh. It was a real tree, though.
Yeah. So that's a good effort. How long was it up for? Do you remember when you put it up?
Yeah, about a few days before Christmas.
Oh, so you were late. Mm. You were late with your tree, so you kept it up to get the value out of it. Is that what happened? Or you just, am I close to the mark?
Yeah, it was a real tree. So I wanted to push it out a bit, but it didn't last. Right.
Do they start to smell a little bit like flowers?
Yeah, it smells great at first, but then after it just started dying.
Yeah, well, it's already dead because you've cut it down.
No, so
it's
I don't not, think it's
not,
is.
No, it wasn't in a pot. So
it's
it
like
was,
a chicken. Once you cut off the head, it lives for another few days.
Well, it smells good for a while, but but you know what? There is nothing better than the smell of a fresh Christmas tree. I must say that.
Mm-hmm.
So now I don't know where I'm at.
So did we solve that problem or not?
I'm going to keep it up. I'm keeping it up. Okay. As long as the wife's happy about it, we're going to keep it up all year.
Headline, Hughie's keeping it up, quote. Now, double passes to go.
As long as my wife's
Edge.
Happy about it, mate. We'll put that in there. So much great TV on at the moment, Aaron. Mm. I mean, I'm loving Survivor, Heroes versus Villains. That's back again tonight.
Yes. Yeah. And I don't watch anything, as you guys know, really. I watch and listen to news. But last night, my four-year-old and I watched Maths together, and I can get very into maths.
So Maths is going great guns. There's been four marriages so far. On the first night, one of the marriages, there was a massive controversy. The groom's name was Harrison. This is Harrison describing himself.
Girls think I'm hot, so if you find a better guy, I'll beat him by 10%.
Girls think he's hot, and fair enough too. He's definitely hot. He was confronted by his bride at the reception of the wedding. She said this to him.
Who's the 20-year-old that you have on the outside?
I don't have a 20-year-old on the outside.
Be honest.
I'm dead serious.
Who's the 20-year-old that you've been speaking to? Come on, please be honest with me.
I mean, the fact that she's sort of equating Maths to prison, really.
On the outside.
Harrison, direct from Maroubra, joins us. Welcome to the show, Harrison.
Good morning. How are you?
We're great in here. Is it like prison?
No, it's not far off. Until the day it's inside. Yeah.
Can I ask you something off the bat, Harrison? So you say girls think you're hot, and absolutely, you're very good looking. But you say if someone finds someone good, you'll beat them by 10%. How do you measure that, and where do you beat them by 10%?
Yeah, you'd have to date me to find out, I suppose.
All right. Well, so you're still single. But all right. So, Harrison, and you, again, you also said you're a single man in Sydney. And, like, what sort of numbers are we talking
about? Well, I wasn't.
I know you were. No. What sort of numbers are we talking about? Were you the type of guy, as a single guy and a good-looking young single man in Sydney, was it, like, a different girl every week or two different girls every week? How did we go?
I don't want to go into details because Bronte's probably listening to this.
Yeah, but this was before you married Bronte. She didn't know you. And as you're right to do whatever you did. And, you know, you rack up the numbers, fair enough. What are we talking, though? One a week?
A gentleman doesn't kiss and tell. I think on the wedding day when I got asked about it, the honesty was the best policy. And so I just said, look, you know, like the truth is I was dating, you know, multiple people before I came in here. But the minute I walked down the aisle, that's when I was completely faithful.
Yeah, that's fair enough. So a lot. We're saying a lot. Yeah, fair enough.
You've got a little boy, Harrison, is that right?
I do, yeah. Yeah, I have a son.
So I became a single mum about a year and a half ago, and I was talking to her. I actually went had a play date last night with another single mum who's got a three-year-old, and she was talking to me about how hard it is to actually find time. The father of that little girl doesn't see the child that much, so she's with her most of the time. Which is really hard and sad, but how do you find time to date so many women with a bubba?
Well, look, I was a family guy, and then when that relationship ended, my son was taken halfway across the state. So I went from seeing him every day to seeing him every second weekend.
Oh, that's hard.
And yeah, it was. Look, as you probably heard on the show, that was like the single worst thing that's ever happened to me in my life, because I went from a guy that would work on a job site all day, come home, and you know, the first thing I did when I walked through the door is he'd go, "Daddy," and I'd go give him a big cuddle and play with him, and you know, that sort of got taken away from me. Now it's every second weekend, and even though that those weekends I look forward to the, you know, the whole time. And then when I do have him for the weekend, I make them as fun as possible. Like last weekend we went to Taronga Zoo and we saw all the animals, and you know, so I have a lot of fun on those weekends with him. But then, and they're more intense now. And in some ways, it's made me a better dad.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
it's gives me a lot of free time as well in between those weekends. So yes. I'm sort of essentially back to a single guy, and then every second weekend I've got to put my dad hat on.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Okay. And we know you.
I kind of was living two separate lives. I was living this really intense single dad life every second weekend, and then every other day it was, you know, I was a single guy in Sydney.
Yeah, so. And you've got to fill in your time, and you know what, and you're doing it the right way, I believe. So, but what about this girl on the outside? We found out she was on The Bachelors, and so as soon as I found out that this girl, that the girl at the wedding was saying that you were meant to be going out, was on The Bachelors, I'm like, that's fair game. If everyone is involved in reality dating shows, it's just you just go for it, yeah?
Yeah. That's what I thought, Hughesy.
But like from the messages, it's not like you'd given her your heart and said, "Wait for me, honey, I'm just going to go do this, I'll be back soon, you know, we're committed and together." Like it was nothing like that from the messages she'd put in the other group.
There was absolutely never anything like that. So what happened was we dated for a short period of time, and nice chick and all that sort of stuff. But it was funny, on our first date, we actually discussed the fact that she'd just done The Bachelor, and I knew that I was heading in to be married.
Yeah.
It's a weird first date.
Did she give you tips? Well, did she give you tips?
Let me clarify this. I'd been been approached to do it. But I hadn't been given a date yet. It was all kind of still up in the air. So it's not like going to war, mate.
It's like you were going to war.
Yeah,
so you needed.
Yeah, I was getting conscripted. Look, it was pretty open discussion. I said, look, this is a possibility in the future that I might do this. You know, like, so there's not really a, like, there might not be a future. And she was cool with that. You know, it was very casual. We sort of just friends with, I guess, benefits. Yeah. And then, when it came out at the wedding, I was so confused by the information Bronte was talking about, because I was like, what girlfriend?
Which
what
one?
Which I was like, it actually took me a minute for the penny to drop to work out who she was talking about.
Have you spoken to her since, this 20-year-old? Are you still in contact with her?
No, we haven't spoken since, no.
Okay, that's it. Yeah.
Are you dealing with...
As I said, look, that... I was actually having no problems in Sydney meeting women.
No, we don't deny that.
I was playing around. That's common knowledge.
How do
now,
you meet but... women in Sydney? Is it apps or is it out or is it combination? Just out of interest.
I when I was single, I could meet a woman at the grocery store.
Yeah, of course,
it's not,
you could.
It's not hard.
I'm not saying you couldn't. I'm genuinely curious
even
as to how people
just go
do
into
it.
A coffee shop. You just bump into
hello.
Them in the line and say hello and swap numbers. It's not hard.
You met a boyfriend in a car park, Aaron. You know, I mean, it happens.
Oh, no, I get it. Thanks, bro. Yeah, I get it.
Look, once it all happened, blew up at the wedding. I was like, you know, like, I'm just going to be honest and say, yeah, I was playing around and I was a single guy, but I'm here now and I'm committed and let's put it behind us.
You've done well. Have you copped heat in the last 2 days? Are you online? Are people slagging you off? You're not worrying about any of that rubbish or not?
Yeah. I'm actually surprised by how dark some of the comments are. It's really, really, like it's a pretty tough thing to read comments about yourself where people are talking about, you know, like all sorts of stuff. I don't really want to go into details, but I've read some comments that have really shocked me.
Can I tell you, and as someone who's been through this and was part of getting legislation into Parliament for this exact reason, do not read any of them because they are vile.
Get off.
And they're threats and it's horrific.
But you don't need that, Harrison. Just get off the net. You can meet people in the supermarket, you know what I mean? You don't need to be online.
He's married.
Yeah, of course he is, yes.
Well, Harrison, no cafe bump ins for you. He's off the market.
He's off the market.
Well done, Harrison from MAFS. Thank you so much.
First name decoder.
Indiana.
INDIYANA.
No. Oh, well, you tell us.
INDY-ANNA.
This is going to be a big day.
Yeah, the hyphens can really trip you up here. Yeah. So it's a name that's just you think it's just spelt easily, and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a go. We're not very good at it. Aaron's probably better than me, but
marginally.
Let's meet Bianca from Liverpool. Hi, you're on with the first name decoders. What is the name?
My daughter's name is Amelia.
I've got so many Amelias in my life. It's a great name.
So the normal spelling, A-M-E-L-I-A, right?
Yes.
That's how most, mm-hmm. the ones in your life, I assume. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
God.
All right, I'm going to go first.
Yeah.
A-M-E-A-L-A-H.
Oh, you've got it.
What? No! No!
Yeah. Did I?
Yeah.
No, sorry. Amelia? No.
Amelia. That is
the end bit was right?
This is...
Yeah, it is.
Oh.
Yeah.
I have nailed it.
I can't.
That is the... This is the moment of my life.
I can't.
Bianca, I need to do a speech.
No, I can't.
I'd like to thank my family.
No, because you think about it, because this
God.
Is important. This will be replayed everywhere.
I'd like
just
to
think.
Thank everyone who believed. I'd like to thank all the people who didn't believe in me. That's who I want to thank.
They inspired you more.
Yes.
Wait, are you
sure,
Bianca?
Yeah, yeah.
Like even the end bit, the A-H?
Yeah. Yes, that's how I changed it. Really,
for the love of God.
So Amelia is spelled A-M-E-A-L-A-H.
You're correct.
God, I'm the best.
Well, Bianca,
I feel like I'm Djokovic. Or you know, someone else.
Girls, you're also not vaxxed. So that is well done to Husey and Bianca. That's
I'm gonna give
Ed Sheeran at a Core Stadium.
I'm going to give Aaron a free go on this one. Come on.
Gee, are you?
You didn't get a go then. Because I did it.
No, I know. But I feel like the fact I gave the real spelling, the normal one, helped.
Well, you can think whatever you like.
Yeah, okay.
Aaron, meet Amy from Fairlight. Amy, what is the name?
Hey guys, the name's Phoebe.
Oh God,
this is
okay.
Cool. Come on, I'll spell it how you normally spell it. All right, so then you can go. Normally spell it P-H-O-E-B-E.
Okay.
Yep.
Phoebe. F-E-E-B-E-E.
No.
Ah. God.
He's on a roll.
Oh, don't you have another crack?
F-E-B-E.
No.
Is either of us close?
No.
All right, so I reckon we're going PH. Or I can go back to PH.
P-H-O-E-B-E-A.
No, still wrong.
Does it start with a PH?
No.
Starts with an F?
Yes, it starts with an F.
How the hell did she spell Phoebe? F-I-B-Y.
No.
Right, I think we give up. You want one more go? Or we'll
give up? I'm give up.
All right. How do you spell it? Phoebe.
Light.
Phoebe.
Okay, it's spelled F-H-O-B-E.
What?
What's the first letter?
F-H-O-B-E, like Phoebe, but
F-H.
Wait, sorry?
F-H-O-B-E.
Yeah.
So normally it's P-H, but you've gone F-H.
O-B-E.
Okay, that is. Does anyone ever spell that correctly?
No, never.
I love that. Thanks, Amy.
Well, you got yourself a double pass to see Ed Sheeran at a Core Stadium. That is the first name
I
Dakota's.
I wouldn't have got that in a million years. I would have got that. A Bankstown boy is about to star in the Super Bowl in a week and a half. It's an incredible story.
We're not talking about in an ad at halftime or anything either. This is the real deal on the field.
Jordan Mailata, he is huge. He's 170 kilograms almost. This is the moment where he played his first game of NFL.
Jordan Mailata. The seventh round draft pick of 2018, the rugby player, never played a down of football. Well, guess what? He's in there at right tackle right now.
Seventh round is like Hail Mary. Like this person will probably not play at all. We've got to use the pick. We'll use it. Yeah.
Before the break, we played another clip where it said like pick 392 or something like that's how far down the line he was.
But he's become such a star in America already. He's featured on America's Masked Singer. This is him singing. He's a good singer.
Oh, that song makes me so emotional. It's such a beautiful song.
Apparently he opened for Neo when Neo played in Philadelphia.
Mm, absolutely.
Incredible. Oh, wow. Who knows this guy? Let's talk to someone who knows him.
Wow. What about old school best mates? What about, let's join now by John Bernard Kairouz. Jordan Mailata's close, nearest and dearest. Morning.
Morning, guys. Big fans. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thanks for coming on, man. So you have known Jordan since he was how old?
Well, we played junior footy together at the Bankstown Bulls. So we played a lot of our junior footy together all the way probably since we were 13 years old up until about 17, SG Ball, 18. And then he kind of made the representative teams at South Sydney Rabbitohs before Michael Maguire said, "Hey, you're too big for rugby league, so sorry, kid." And then he obviously found another part.
Yeah, so were you too big? So you watched? Did you watch him grow? When did he like shoot up at 15?
No, he's always been that size. he's always been big, and when playing alongside him, I was a small number seven, so it was great to be on his team. Yeah. But he's always been frightening.
Yeah, and your dad was the coach of the teams. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah. My dad, Richard Kairouz, was the head coach. So, it was tough being the son of the coach. But, he definitely kind of got us playing our best footy and was a great coach.
What did you kind of see in him during those earlier days? Because often with people, they're not that committed when they're younger, or some people are just from day dot ridiculous work ethics. Did you pick it straight away, or was he kind of a bit more relaxed then and now he's full blast?
No, he was always having a laugh, but, on the field he was mean. Like, he'd leave a trail of destruction, with runs. I remember playing against just some other club teams, and it was almost unfair. But, it wasn't his demeanor all the time. He was actually, he's a really decent guy, loyal, loving mate, and, he's got a really beautiful family. And he's one of the good ones.
So, but when you, like he said, he told you he was going to try it, or did you suggest he try out for the NFL, or what was your percentage of belief in the fact he could make it in a completely different sport?
Well, I think a lot of people would have doubted, like including a lot of the boys that played with him growing up, was it's NFL's too hard. You got to be learning it from a young age. Mm. They study a whole playbook and he's accustomed to rugby league. So going over there, but I think, they did that kind of international draft system and got him over there, and he learnt it from scratch. And that's like a testament to him and his commitment. He's a freak.
I've read articles, I've seen footage. He is very well known in America now. Is he taking in his stride? Does it freak him out?
No, I think he's still pretty grounded. He still speaks to a lot of the boys. One of his childhood friends from the Bulls, Ocean. If we need to get in contact with Jordan, we hit up Ocean first sometimes. He's the Ben Affleck to his Matt Damon almost. And they still keep close touch. He's actually trying to get to the Super Bowl this week, whereas we're all the boys are trying to get together and watch it at Roos Park, the old Bankstown Bulls stomping ground. We're gonna put a bit of an event on there and get the boys around it.
When was his last year at the Bankstown Bulls? Because I've hosted a couple of the presentation nights because I'm an ambassador for the Bankstown RSL. Yeah. So I'm just wondering if I ever handed him an award as a youngster.
Yeah, maybe. It would have been around his under 17s. And he played up every now and then with his brother Daniel. But It would have been around under 17s, yeah.
So how many years ago is that? Like 5 years ago?
Ooh, yeah, we're talking about, yes, yeah, six, right. 7 years ago.
Yeah. Right. What about his contract? He's going to make up to $124 million over 4 or 5 years. Is there any word on it? Has he splashed out on anything yet?
No, I mean, you know what? When he does come back down to Australia, he does shout the Eljana chicken, which is nice of him. He doesn't have to do that. But yeah, he's on a good wicket. He's on, like, to go from a rugby league player where your ceiling is maybe earning a couple hundred thousand to being on multi-millions of dollars is unbelievable, and it couldn't happen to a better bloke.
Yeah, well, great. Good on you, mate.
We love your insight. Yeah.
John, brilliant. Okay, Roos, thank you so much for joining us.
Also, start thinking about what you want to give up for FebFast. It's 28 days. Mm. Today is the 1st of February. I've got something really, you know, central to my life that I'm going to stop for 28 days. Aaron, you're thinking about it. Ed, you're thinking about it. But we're going to do it after 8 a.m.
So it's hardest for Ed because he's the cleanest living of all of us. But
extraordinary. Extraordinary.
I've got something I could that might. Right.
We'll wait till after 8.
I don't know if I can.
All right, but we're going to get people involved and you'll win Ed Sheeran tickets if you tell us what you're going to give
up.
Pamela Anderson has got a new autobiography out, and it's called Love, Pamela, and it's in her own words, no ghostwriters.
Can you tell?
Yeah, you can. I'm sorry. With sentence construction and just stories going nowhere. But no, there's some really interesting stuff in it. Yeah, so Pamela Anderson, famous from Baywatch, one of the most recognisable people on Earth to this day. Baywatch is still the most watched television show in the world.
More than Friends?
Yes.
Wow.
Baywatch is number one.
Oh, wow.
So, and it's watched all over the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because high-cut red swimmers are universal. It's a language everyone can speak.
Yeah. So Pamela has been famous for a long time in LA, lived in LA. She was once at a party and Jack Nicholson was there. And this is a little bit, it's what I'm about to play. Sort of risque, so just keep that in mind.
Kids in the car.
Yeah, but it's not too bad. Just don't explain things. If you don't explain things here, it's fine. Right. So, so Pamela is at a party. Jack Nicholson, one of the world's most famous actors, is at the party. And let her take it away.
And this is where I came upon that actor from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Mr. Nicholson had two beautiful women with him. They were all giggling and kissing up against the wall, sliding all over each other. I walked by to use the mirror, bending over the sink to fix my lip gloss, trying not to look, but I couldn't help myself and caught his eye in the reflection. I guess that got him to the finish line, because he made a funny noise, smiled, and said, "Thanks, dear."
Sorry, what?
Well, we're not going to explain what happened.
No,
there.
I know that. You don't need to, but what?
That's Hollywood for you. That's old school. Jack Nicholson apparently doesn't leave his house anymore, so...
After this was revealed.
No, he hasn't been seen in public for about a year.
Oh, I saw that headline,
So there's talk, because we're at the basketball.
Well, he clearly doesn't need to leave the house, Jim.
We went to LA and we're at the basketball and Jack Nicholson's seat was meant to be right in front of ours.
Yeah.
Yes, but he didn't turn up. His son was there with a model, so I think he might have passed on his way of life. Anyway.
His checkbook.
So what
I'm
about...
I'm not saying she was paid. I just mean he's more attractive because he's rich and famous.
Now, what about Scott Morrison? How does he involved?
Well, this rings such a bell, and I haven't Googled because I want to hear it firsthand from Pam and from you and from Scott, clearly, but rings bells, right?
I am so happy. I'm so excited that it's the exact same story. Just with
Now, no, look, Scott Morrison.
I was at Engadine Macca's and he made a funny noise and they said, clean up, needed.
Now, all right, now let's get back to... Remember that she loves the bloke.
Who's she?
Julian Assange.
Julian Assange, yes.
She loves Wiki Guy.
Yes.
Yeah. So they dated.
Did they date? I don't think
yes, so. They did. They had a moment. They, in the book, it talks about them having times.
Yeah, right. All right. I haven't read the whole book, let's be honest. But, all right. So.
Great.
No, come on.
I know it's hard. There's not enough time.
No, I will definitely read this whole book. I love it. But so she wants to campaign for Julian Assange to free Julian. Mm. And she wants to, you know, she wants help from the Australian Prime Minister.
Yes.
But then she reached out to the Australian Prime Minister with an open letter, his response angered her. Have a listen to this.
While I was in Australia, I had hoped to meet with Prime Minister Scott Morrison to make a plea in person to the Australian government to help Julian. After I wrote an open letter to Mr. Morrison, He responded cheekily in the press by saying he'd love to meet me if he could bring a few of his buddies along. That didn't go over well.
ScoMo is going to bring a few of his buddies along. What are they going to do, ScoMo? You're the Prime Minister. So did he actually say that?
He couldn't have, did he?
Well, this was on a radio, I think it was a radio show in Australia. This is ScoMo.
Gold Coast, yep. Yeah.
I've had plenty of mates have asked me if they could be my special envoy to sort the issue out with Pamela Anderson.
Oh, see, that's actually what she says is not a fair portrayal of what occurred. In his defence, and I'm, you know, I've been critical of Scott Morrison and complimentary over the years, but that is actually, he said, I've had a few mates who have offered to be my special envoy. Okay, that is not him saying,
he did say plenty.
Only if I can bring some buddies along. That is actually not a fair portrayal, in my opinion.
No, but he opened himself up to it, didn't he?
Oh, mate. I mean, it's, but she, her whole career, she is, has been based predominantly on being a sex symbol.
Yes.
And she has courted the attention of men very openly for a very long time. So I don't think what he said was really that offensive.
All right, ScoMo, you're off the hook.
There we go, baby. You're off the hook.
It's the first day of the month and Feb Fast is a big thing. You give up something for a month. And it's the shortest month, so it's the easiest month to give something up for.
30 days has September, April, June, and November, all the rest of 31, except Feb, which has what, 28?
28, except for leap years, so it's not a leap year. I think we've established that, is it? Not a leap year?
Okay.
Is it?
28 days.
Not a leap year. So 28 days, what are you going to give up?
Blink of an eye.
I'll go first.
Mm-hmm.
This is serious for me.
Yep.
I am giving up deep fried food. And everyone knows, that's one of my few vices.
So you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't do drugs.
I'm a vegan.
You're a vegan. So you eat either hot chips or crisps.
Yes, and every day.
Every day.
At least once.
At least once, sometimes twice. In fact, you ate Eliza's a couple of days ago.
I did. I ate your daughter's chips and she looked at me like, what are you doing? I said, I can't stop.
Yeah, you couldn't.
Hot chips are my weakness and I'm going to throw crisps in there as well. For a whole month, I'm not eating them, and I normally eat them twice a day.
You're going to look so good.
I had my final meal last night at a kebab shop near the Enmore Theatre after I left the comedy gig and didn't see day. I preferred a kebab and chips. But you know what? I didn't even eat the whole box of chips.
You'd already started.
I'd already slightly started. So a whole month. This is...
But you're not going to be unbearable for Holly and the kids, are you? Because that's what I worry about. Same with vaping. I don't want you to become unbearable more so.
No, I've already given up vaping. So
yeah, no, I know. But what I'm saying is it was hard for the people around you.
Only
you
for a little while. And I'll get through it. So that's a month without chips.
Yep, good on you.
What about you, Erin? What are you going to...
Okay, well, the two things I know, definitely, and I've started doing this off the back of, you know, a talk I had with Dad. I'm drinking now, like, 2 litres of water a day. So I'm going to do that every single day, at least 2 litres of water.
But what are you going to give up?
I'm buying a stepper machine and I'm going to do 20 minutes on the stepper machine every single morning night. It doesn't matter.
That's your commitment, is it?
That's my commitment. But
are you going to give something up? You don't have to, but
no,
I'm forcing you into this.
Okay. I'm thinking now because I have to think seriously because if I say this and then I'm out at dinner and I have like a glass of red wine or something and someone takes a photo, then I look like a liar or, you know, a loser or I'm disingenuous. Right. So,
you don't
or if
have
I'm on
to
an aeroplane and I
not
want to go.
Forcing you
no,
into
I
this.
Know, but I want to do it, but I've got to think carefully. So I'll let you know.
Before the end of the show?
Before 9 o'clock, if I'm going to, and it's not even hard. I went without alcohol for a year, but I think I might do no alcohol. But
right, well,
it's like the only thing that gives me joy apart from my daughter.
I really feel that this is not the attitude that we want to enter FebFast with.
Okay.
You don't have to do it.
I know, but this is, by the end of the show, I might commit to not drinking for February.
That is a strong statement.
Pretty good, actually. That's pretty good. That's pretty heavy.
What about you, Ed?
Oh, I've got to get off MySpace. So,
is there anything, Ed, though? Could you give something up or not? Is there nothing left in your life? Is there anything?
I have nothing.
Oh, that's extraordinary.
It's quite sad.
You might have to take something up.
You're asking about joining Opus Dei. So, 13:10:60, Feb Fast. Make a commitment live on the radio to the committed Hughesy and the semi-committed Aaron Molan, and you will get yourself a double pass to see Ed Sheeran at a course stadium. 13:10:60. Lines are open. Maybe you've tried Febfast in the past. You tried to get off the booze and you lasted
yeah,
for
but
9 minutes.
If it's stupid, tell me. Tell me just yeah, not to do
no,
it.
No, we're doing it.
Or tell me to do it.
Well, I think we're doing it.
Okay, just, we're doing it.
There can be anything, all right? So what is in your life that you can't stop doing? It's 28 days.
But I 13. Go days without a wine. I just know sometimes I really like it.
It's Febfast. I've never been more fired up. I've wanted to cut back on chips for a long time, and I haven't been able to do it.
Well, you tried to do it in the lead up to our trip to Cairns last year. You were going to get your beach body, as you called it.
Yes, but I've been chips twice a day, hot chips and crisps, but I'm now none for 28 days. Aaron, you're still deciding on
still
alcohol?
Still deciding. I'm definitely committing to drinking a heap of water and doing a stepper machine at home every day for at least 20 minutes, but alcohol I might give up. I'm undecided.
Well, the phones are flooded with people who want to get involved. Who we got?
Okay, Brittany's ready to make a vow. Brittany from Mount Druitt, what is your Feb fast?
Hi, honey.
What is your...
I am giving up driving for a whole month to improve my health. I had a baby 5 months ago and packed on 10 kilos, so I need to improve my health more for my girls and stick to it. And I've stuck to giving up smoking for 2 years, so I need to stick to walking my behind everywhere.
So we're talking, I mean, sometimes you're going to have to drive, I imagine, because...
No, not at all.
Not at all?
So I've got people already ready to drive me that come to my house, get my car so I can put my baby in that in, but... They're committed. I'm walking to school. I've got shops about 10 minutes away, so I'm going to walk there.
I love that.
I'm walking around everywhere.
We'll just be honest. You just haven't lost your license. Is that true, Brittany? You're not.
I'm not the best driver, but I've still got my license.
Still got your license.
Okay.
This is.
We're going to stay in touch, Brittany. We want a weekly check in with you.
That's good for her.
Absolutely.
It's good for the environment.
I'll even give you weight loss.
Yes.
Remarks.
Thank you, Brittany.
Okay. Yep. Brilliant.
That, perfect.
Next.
And from Redfern, what are you giving up for Febfast?
Look, I can't stand my girlfriend's telling me off not wearing a bra. So I am going to wear a bra for the next 28 days. It's the shortest month of the year. I can't bloody wear it. I can't stand it, but that is my commitment. Because they always say, I can't stand seeing these things let loose. And I said, well, it's a free country.
That is
free
country.
I'm going to commit. I'm going to make them happy and wear a bra.
And to be honest, I travel a bit, and I think Sydney is the home of the no bra. Wow. I think of all the cities I've been to, there's less bras worn in Sydney than anywhere else. And Aaron, you're on that bandwagon. I'm not saying it's a bad thing either.
No, and I am. I don't know about this because I hate them with a passion. I'm exactly like
Thank you.
If I honestly, I'll only wear one if it's. I was about to say if it's like a funeral or if it like. Honestly, I hate them with a passion, and I'm not. A raging feminist by any stretch of the imagination, but I do feel like, why should I wear some uncomfortable, restrictive thing just so you don't have to be exposed to a nipple that's used to feed my daughter? Okay, well, anyway, but
this is a
I support you.
But it's a discipline thing.
Absolutely.
So it's like, can she do it? Can Anne wear a bra?
Do you have some comfy ones? Can I suggest maternity ones?
Look, I just can't say. I think I'm just going to wear like a straight strap around, but it's going to be that. I can't stand wearing them.
Are you, can I ask this, and only because you've brought it up, are you well endowed in the chest?
Yes. Yes, I am.
And how are they?
What size?
Just whisper what size. Ask yourself. It's okay. It's not sleazy in this instance. I promise you. You can ask.
No. Everyone just keeps staring at them. And,
What size are they then? What are we talking about?
Well, they're big enough to be looked at.
All right, we'll leave it to the imagination, I suppose.
Can you not imagine, Anne, please?
Come on, move on.
Thanks, Anne. That's brilliant.
Yeah,
who's next?
Natalie from Camden. What are you giving up for Febfast?
Oh, look, I know it doesn't sound like a really big sacrifice, but I have a very serious Kmart addiction.
Yep.
So I am going to give up shopping at Kmart for February.
Well done.
Yes.
Is there a Kmart close to your house?
There is. It's only like 10 minutes away.
No.
And, you know, I go in there and I'm like, oh, I might just buy it. Like, I just need, like, a T-shirt for my kids or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I'll come out with a pot plant and a floor mat and, you know, a wall hanging.
It's common, Nat. It's so common.
You can't walk past the bargains you get at Kmart. It's just, how do they even make a profit selling these great products at that price?
Well, that was my Christmas decorations, Natalie. We're all from Kmart. Look, a lot of women have the same problem. I know so many women who go there daily and cannot leave without purchasing.
All right, so Natalie, can you find another way so you don't have to drive past? Can you just, is there a...
Oh no, I could, I look, it's inside a shopping centre near me. Yeah. So I would actually have to go into the shopping centre. Okay. So I can drive past it, you can, but yeah, oh gosh, looking. It's going to be very hard.
You can do it, Natalie.
Can we keep in touch with our yes. three ladies? Oh, let's. Yeah, okay, we're going to check in each week. I love this, Nat. Best of luck. Godspeed. You've okay, got this, we... girlfriend.
8:27, news time, hump day hampers, and then the MAFS scene stealer is going to join us. We might put up on the socials yeah, just exactly on the Hughesy and there on Instagram, just so people can get across.
It's all happening on Channel 10. MAFS is happening on Channel 9. We're going to get to Cleavage Woman, who Aaron contacted via Instagram, who's going to speak to us.
Yep.
About the controversy from last night's show. But first we want to address our mate Harrison, Sydney, one of Sydney's finest men, young, fit, handsome.
Just ask him, he'll tell you.
Yeah, well, actually, he told in the introduction, his introduction to his, appearance on MAFS, he said this.
Girls think I'm hot, so if you find a better guy, I'll beat him by 10%.
And I did ask him what he meant by 10% in what kind of field, and he said, you'll have to date me to find out.
Yeah, I think he was flirting with Aaron, actually. I know he was. But, you know, go to our podcast to hear our whole chat with yes. Harrison. But here's a couple of highlights. We know that, we now know that the woman who apparently was waiting for on the outside was actually also on another reality show, The Bachelors. And so he had something to say about the fact that he was hanging out with her before he went on to MAFS.
On our first date, we actually discussed the fact that she'd just done The Bachelor and I knew that I was heading in to be married.
Weird
first
date. It's
just a pool of people, isn't it? It's like young footballers, you know, who, what team am I going to go to, you know? but also, did you ask him,
how he met so many women, because he's obviously just in abundance, and he said this.
I was actually having no problems in Sydney meeting women. When I was single, I could meet a woman at the grocery store.
Yeah, of course you could.
I mean, join the club. We can all meet people kind of anywhere,
well,
can't
you,
we?
Well, I said at the time, you can meet people anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, just open your eyes, look up, get off your phone, look around. There's people looking at you probably, and you can meet them. Or whoever you are.
Okay, so anyway, last night I watched MAFS with my daughter, who's 4 and a half, Eliza, and it was a really interesting experience because we were watching Paddington Bear on the Cartoon Channel, and then I was like, oh, for this show I should try and watch a bit of MAFS. So I said to her, do you want to watch some weddings? Because she loves playing weddings with Barbies. And so we watched, and she was quite into it.
Are they getting married?
Yes.
Are they going to kiss?
Yeah, no.
Tell them.
They're not kissing.
Tell them, kiss.
No kissing.
Kiss.
No kissing.
Kiss.
So, yeah,
no
she kissing. She didn't want to kiss, but it did then prompt her to ask me some quite, like, right. She started to, I know, and it's sad because probably most of her friends at school have mums that have been married.
Oh, not most of
oh,
them,
no,
probably.
No, they do.
Half,
most of them, but all of them.
No,
every single one at preschool,
not everyone gets married,
is a married mum.
I don't want to get married.
Why not?
Are you going to get married?
No, I don't want to get married. I just want to live with you forever.
Are you a grown up?
I am a grown up, yes.
When are you going to get married?
Anyway, it was awkward. I think she wants, daughter's trolling me.
I think she wants you to move out. You need to find your own life, mummy.
So it wasn't just deep conversations. I think she's actually thinks it's sad that I think she feels the burden of being my only friend
yes,
as well
a lot of the time.
Pressure, yes. There's a lot of pressure. No, but then pressure. A woman walked in an orange dress, Ed, and this blew my daughter's mind.
I want to see the baby dress.
The orange one?
Yeah.
Why do you want to see that?
Because it's funny.
It is funny.
She was obsessed. I don't know if she remembers breastfeeding. I don't think she does because she's 4 and a half and I stopped breastfeeding her at like 9 months. Yeah. For some reason, she was enamored.
The woman in question, the woman that your daughter's talking about,
who is a real person.
Yes, of course she is. And we're about to speak to her. We're going to come back and speak to her.
Yeah.
She's absolutely. The internet blew up last night.
Well, they're all saying she tried to steal the bride's thunder.
Her Instagram following went up 40,000.
Well, I think so. That was
in
me.
One
I'm going to ask her because I thought it was like 3,000 or 4,000. It's now 40. So I need to know if my recollection is right because that's a real steep climb.
So, Maths last night, controversy, one of the weddings, which seemed like a lovely wedding, was Dan and Sandy.
It's beautiful. And I love, my favourite part is when Dan looked at Sandy and mouthed, "Are you okay?" because she was so nervous. And, oh, God, I know my standards are clearly low, that blew my mind, but I just thought that was really sweet.
So, Sandy has an Indian background and she was dressed in traditional Indian garb.
A red sari kind of beautiful dress.
With the nose ring and,
everything.
Stunning. But a lot of eyes were turned to the, what's the audience? What do you call people at a wedding? The guests. Because
rent a crowd.
One of them was dressed in a beautiful orange frock and people were saying things on the internet, weren't they?
Yeah, there was a couple of articles and some commentary that this woman had. In fact, I'll just read it to you. Let's go direct. Busty Maff's wedding guest with GG breasts tries to upstage the bride by showing off her enormous cleavage in a plunging orange corset dress.
No. That's the charge. And can we...
Well, we're joined by that Maff's guest, Samantha, live. Good morning to you, Samantha. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, how are you?
We're great. Hi. And we really appreciate your time.
Hi.
And when you got the message from Erin this morning, what were you thinking? What did you think?
What have I done?
What now?
Did you really have no idea that there'd been a reaction to you and your dress?
To be honest, it was sort of late last night. Someone sent me the article and I honestly was shocked. I didn't think it was such a big deal. Like, I loved the dress I wore. It's a Leah Stubler dress. And like, she's one of my favourite designers.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Gorgeous. You look amazing.
Beautiful.
But
so.
Yeah, but look, I thought you must be friends with Sandy, the bride, but you're actually friends with Dan, the groom. Is that right?
Uh-oh. Yes.
Uh-oh.
Where did that friendship start?
So we met through mutual friends. The best man, Taylor, that was at the wedding for Dan.
Was he the one on the far right?
He's got
down?
Like that really nice structured beard sitting in the front next to Georgia and Danica. Yeah, mm-hmm. He's beautiful. So he actually introduced us because he's been his best friend for like 20 years.
Yep.
Oh, right.
And then,
So, look, I mean, you've never had any romantic interest in Dan?
Everyone has a romantic interest in Dan.
Have you guys dated? Have you ever been on a date with him?
Define a date. Like, we hang out all the time, yeah.
All right.
So you have okay. Yeah. So you've pashed Dan, right?
No.
That's we don't believe that. No, man.
Obviously before the show.
Yeah, I know you've pashed Dan.
Look, I think at the end of the day, everyone has a history before Maths, and they have a future after Maths. And I think that why Maths is Maths, while it's happening, it is what it is. What happens previous and what happens after are two completely different things.
It's like before Christ and after Christ.
It's like the Bible.
All right, I don't know how it's. Yeah, well, now, so did you chat to Sandy at the wedding?
I did. Yeah, she is so lovely. She actually said to me, "I love your dress."
Yes. Was she aware?
That's all that matters.
No, but was she aware that you and Dan had a bit of a romantic past?
Well, we haven't had a romantic past. I'm like, Dan's got heaps of girlfriends. I'm like, look at all of us there. Like, the majority of us were girls.
Yeah, but that's how many has he kissed? Has he kissed every woman in that?
No, not at all. Dan's got so many solid girlfriends. All of us have been extremely close to Dan for a very long time.
What's happening with Dan?
Candyman.
You've kissed Dan, Samantha. You have.
If you say so.
Before the show though, right, obviously, Sam.
Yes, before the show.
No, I haven't kissed Dan.
No, I think it's after.
Show.
I think she's alluding to the idea that because she said there's something that you've got a life before Maths and you have a life post Maths. I think she's trying to allude to the idea that she's in the Dan world now.
Are you with Dan now?
No.
Have you kissed Dan post show?
From you.
So have you kissed him since the show, Sam?
No, he's been doing his own thing. You know, me and Dan are me and Dan, and that's it.
I love this.
Touching story.
No, you're a great sport. Are you a single mum as well?
I am.
Oh, how old's Bubba?
She's one, and my son is nine.
Oh, yeah, beautiful.
Both of them
up. Yeah. We are fascinated by your story. We're fascinated by Dan's story, how Sandy feels about everything. But we'll have to keep watching, I suppose.
Thank you, Samantha. Thanks, we'll catch up with you again.